Verdugo back to the pin. He caught it. He took it back.
He's doing everything right now.
That ball is gone. What a bullet by Devers.
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. Tom Karen, Jerry Remy, virtually distanced as I think we are almost a year now since we began this thing next to each other at JetBlue Park, but things have changed a bit since then. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Tom Karen. He's Jerry Remy. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, good to have one under our belt yesterday, and Red Sox doing good so far today, so that's good news.
We've actually got a bunch of things I want to get to here, beginning with your vaccine. Now, last week we talked about you were lined up to go get one at Gillette.
Yeah.
Did you get it? And take us through it. How'd it go?
Yeah, it was a really good experience. You know, I went down to Gillette. That's great with parking. You pull right up very close to, you know, where they have the lines forming. The lines move very quickly. It's an operation that, you know, they've really, really got down very, very well. And it took us about a total of, I'd say, from door to door to the car, I'd say, 35 minutes. You get the vaccine, you got to sit down for 15 minutes. And then while you're there, you can also make your appointment for your second vaccine, which we did. So it was a real good experience, you know, and it was kind of a relief leaving there, knowing that you got one and that you're somewhat covered, you know, and then, you know, that within 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we'll be back there again, getting our second one, and that'll be it. So, it was a good experience. You know, it was worth the drive down there, and we were fortunate to get in like anybody right now. It's so difficult to get in and get an appointment, but we were very lucky to get in, and we timed it perfectly. And, I'm glad we got it. I'm glad we both got it. I know my wife was very relieved, and so was I. And so we're looking to clean it up in another next couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully that'll be it for a while.
That's great news. You know, every time I hear or see anybody getting one, I just feel it's another step closer. You know, anytime somebody gets a vaccine, that means the world is a little better place. The world is a little safer. Yeah, every one person makes the world a better place.
I've never seen so many people going for shots that are in such a good mood.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody was in a great mood.
Yeah. Well, the line up and do some shots is a whole different thing than what we used to think it was. And you did a baseball game on Monday. How did it feel?
Felt great. You know, it's good. It's always good to do the first one, you know, and you kind of get it out of the way. You're a little bit nervous going in, as you always are, and you probably should be. But then once you get going, it's just like doing another game. And, you know, you finally realize you're doing a spring training game. So you got to obviously attack it a little bit different than a normal season game. But I don't think we missed many of the substitutions. We might have missed a few. But that's the toughest part about it once you get a little bit into the game. And it was probably around the third or fourth inning where they started to make substitutions in the game. So, but it's always good to get back and do baseball. And what was kind of fun about it, TC, is, you know, even though there are only a few fans in the stands, it made a difference. You know, it looked more like a baseball game, and it sounded a little bit more like a baseball game. So, hopefully that's able to continue around the country. It can build and it can build and it can build. And you know, hopefully at some point before the end of the season, get back to normal. But it did make a big difference. I noticed that immediately as soon as, you know, we started doing the game.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because just watching the game as I did, it feels different. You hear reaction, you hear, you know, that fake sound was clearly fake sound, and
exactly.
And it had to be there. That's fine. But this was genuine reaction to things. And it's hard to believe it's been almost years. March 12th was the last time they played in front of any fans live.
I know, it's incredible, you know, and doing all those games last year with nobody at all in the stands. And it's just, you know, I can't imagine what it was like for the players, you know, because you really, you know, we talked about this before, but I mean, as a player, you feed off the fans, you know, whether it's, you know, they like you or they don't like you, whether you're on the road or at home. It gives you a whole different sense of motivation, you know? And so just to have a few in there, like they did yesterday, makes a huge difference. And look, a lot of these guys haven't seen fans for a year, and, you know, just to be out there in front of a few of them anyway, makes a big, big difference. So it's good. You know, things look like they're trending in the right direction. Let's hope they keep going in that way. People get vaccinated, you know, that we get this all behind us and continue to move forward. And finally get things back to normal, because once you get a little bit of taste of the normal, you know, it's so much better.
No doubt about that. The game itself wasn't very normal because we're stopping innings after 20 pitches. We're playing seven innings. I love the first inning where Garrett Richards was clearly having some control problems and getting squeezed a little bit too. But just bases loaded, two runs in, only one out. Okay, let's bring it back to the house.
Bring it back in. You know, we were kind of expecting that because we saw a little bit of it last year during spring training too. After the second spring training after the 20 pitches, and so I was kind of heads up for that, and so I kept checking, if I could get a camera shot of the Cora in the dugout. You could see that he was motioning to the third base umpire, after this pitch, that's it, we're off here. So it's so bizarre. It was so bizarre, but at least they're playing, really the key of spring training, get your at-bats, get your work in as a pitcher. Score doesn't matter. Results don't matter, until they get a little bit closer to the regular season. But just to get your work in and, for Richards, like a tough, real tough first inning, I thought. And then he got some help in the second inning with a nice play defensively in the outfield and by Pueyo, I believe it was.
Yeah, Pueyo made a nice catch. Yeah,
really nice catch. And then he looked a little bit more comfortable after that. And that's not unusual, the first time out. I remember going to spring training with Nolan Ryan. He would get lit up in spring training. I mean, really? Lit up because he never wanted to throw his fastball as hot as he did during the season. He just wanted to throw it and try to throw it for strikes. And they would tee off on him. And, we'd all look at each other like, what's wrong with Nolan? There was nothing wrong with him. As soon as opening day came around, bing, he was ready. So, you see a lot of this, especially early in spring training.
You also wonder, on Sunday, Nathan Eovaldi had a very similar, struggling early, right. Did get out of it. But you wonder sometimes if these guys overthrow too, especially Eovaldi. Because we're all looking at the gun with Eovaldi. And he hit 99.5 miles an hour. Spring training guns are usually juiced a little bit. But for first time out, first inning, for him to be lighting it up like that, the first thing you think of is, oh boy, he's overthrowing, and the results kind of show that.
Yeah, exactly. And what causes that is guys go out. You think that these guys are machines, and they're not. They're human beings, and they get nervous. The first time out, you get out there, you want to put on a good performance, like you do every time you step on the field, and you haven't been out there for a year, and in some cases longer than a year. And so you've got butterflies, and so you're trying to do more than you're capable of doing, and most of the time the result of that is not very good. And then once you get out there for the second inning, I think you feel a little bit more under control, and as time goes on, you get better and better. So I think that's what we saw yesterday with Richards, and you got to see a lot more. Obviously, you can't base anything on yesterday, but. I don't put too much stock in the first rounds of spring training, first round around the rotation in spring training, and not very much in the second either. But as you get in the middle of spring training and toward the end, it becomes very important that they're locked in.
All right. So it's one thing to talk about pitchers in their first outing. And one thing with three games in, and we've seen quite a bit of it. Now, one of the first things Alex Cora started stressing about when he got down there this year was defense.
Yes. And
a renewed emphasis on defense. He was saving some of the fields for purely defensive work. And through three games, the defense has been awful.
It's been awful.
I mean, they've been booting it all over the place. How concerning is that? I know it's early.
Yeah.
But what is it, five errors yesterday alone? Even the first inning on Tuesday, they got out of it in three batters, but there Martin Perez didn't cover first, and a double play looked awful, and Devers threw it in the dirt that Chavis had to pick. How concerned are we of the defense looking sloppy early?
Well, not too much for me at this point, because I think defensively they're going to be fine. But it was kind of funny because I was just opening my mouth and, spewing some stuff about how they've been working so hard on defense. They make five errors in the game. I believe it was five. It felt like 15, and as soon as I said it, Dahlbach makes an error, at third base. And I said, here we go. The floodgates are going to open now. And so, I think it's going to be a very decent, defensive ball club when you see the players out there that are going to be out there and the positions they're going to be in. I think it's going to be fine, but we're getting a lot of guys playing positions right now that they don't play. And, a lot of the starters aren't playing two games in a row yet. So, it's going to improve, but it's an ugly start. And it's just embarrassing because, Cora comes off a press conference where he says, that's the best practice we've ever had in our life. You know, we had machines going with ground balls, and our defense looked great. And then the next day they come out and they slap five errors on you.
Yeah, not good. And you talked about guys playing in other positions. Xander Bogaerts is sitting down for a little while here. And we talked a lot about how this team needs to stay healthy. Every team does. And we listed all these guys who've had injury issues. You don't list Bogaerts because he's been durable. He's been able to stay out there. One season a couple years back, he had a couple injury problems. But by and large, this guy's been healthy, and they need him to be healthy. How concerned? Now, this is interesting. First, let's hear what Cora said. This is what Cora said about his shoulder and about kind of overthrowing and the throwing program ramping up a little too quickly here.
With Xander, he's a little bit banged up, his shoulder. You know, we do feel that he's progressing right now. We shut him down for a little bit. He rushed himself with his throwing program during the offseason. With everything that is going on with the virus, there were a few things that he wasn't able to do in Aruba because of lockdowns or whatever they had going on down there for the right reasons. So he wasn't a regular offseason in that end. You know, he was able to hit all that, but his throwing program wasn't perfect. So he rushed himself. He was sore for a few days. We shut him down. He should be back to throwing in the next couple of days. He will take ground balls and all that. And the hitting part, he'll be okay in a few days too. So we just got to be patient. We got plenty of days, right? We got, 30 more days? So as of now, we do feel that he should be ready for opening day.
So it's interesting, first of all, that he's saying, Alex Cora is saying, it's because maybe he sped up his throwing program because he hadn't been going through the throwing program in Aruba because not everything was available. I think we'll see more of these kind of things. Guys who missed so much time last year, even if they were healthy because there wasn't much of a season. Guys who maybe didn't have access to their usual workout stuff this winter because of the pandemic. Nobody's been through this before.
Yeah, stuff like this early in the camp is not unusual at all. And, you know, look, guys play with sore arms and sore shoulders all season long. And what they want to do is they want to get this under control very, very early so he doesn't have recurring problems as the season goes on. But, you know, I mean, I'm 68 years old. My elbow still hurts from throwing, making double plays. So, you know, it doesn't go away. And, you know, as far as not throwing much in the offseason, that could be it. Let's just hope that's it. Let's hope it's not something more significant, you know, that's going to all of a sudden, the word I don't want to hear now is, well, they're going to run an MRI, you know, to see if there's anything in there. I don't want to hear that. You know, I just hope that the rest is going to be good enough for him. And, you know, within a week or so, he's back out there able to play because you're right. He's a guy that we absolutely need. We need him to be the Xander Bogaerts that he's capable of being and that he has been for the Red Sox, because without him at shortstop, that would be a wide open hole. And that would be very, very difficult to fill. So, you know, I'm gonna believe in Cora right now and say it's just from, you know, I don't know if it's from an off-season non-throwing program or it's just doing too much the first couple of days of spring training. That's possible too. But what I don't want to hear is, well, we're going to send him back to Boston for an MRI, because then you start talking about some problems.
No doubt about that. I'll tell you, it did make me think about, 25 years ago, I was a minor league hockey play-by-play guy. And we had a like a 3-month lockout in the NHL, right? But the minors kept playing. And I remember one of the coaches saying, a lot of these minor league guys are going to get their first real chance to show themselves this year when it starts up. I was like, why is that? He goes, hamstrings are going to be popping left and right, you know? Yeah. And sure enough, I remember 2 weeks into the season, there wasn't an NHL team that hadn't called up a half dozen guys already. Yeah. And I just, you know, I think this year is going to be so unusual because pitchers didn't get their innings last year, even if they were around for the whole year, right? I mean, Martin Perez is the only guy on the Red Sox who threw 60 innings last year.
Right.
So, and you know, we talk so much about progression, right? How many more pitches, how many more innings can a guy throw each year? If you're a young guy, Eduardo Rodriguez is still pretty young. He didn't throw a pitch last year.
Right.
There, you got guys like Tanner Houck, who made 3 starts for the Red Sox. Prior to that, he was throwing at the alternate training facility. You know, those aren't games. So I just think it's, you know, I think every team is going to go through weird injuries, going to go through dead arm stretches that we haven't seen in pitchers before, maybe during the season, because we just don't know what last year is going to mean to pitchers this year.
Yeah, and you know, they've been trying to figure that out. You know, they've been trying to go through their medical people and talk to different people about how to handle this during spring training. And I am of the belief that, you know, the more rest, the better. I think that, you know, now that they've had all this time off, I think they all should be very strong coming back to spring training. I mean, you got to be careful at the beginning because, you know, as you said, last year they only played 60 games and most of these guys didn't get a lot of starts. And the same with position players. And you don't want to go out there the first couple of days and blow your arm out, you know, because you feel so good. I mean, you got to feel great after having all that time off. So, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, the early going. But I think once they get two or three starts under their belt, they're going to feel really good. And I think that, you know, as they head into the season, I think you got to see pitches ahead early in the season that, you know, probably in the past were not at the point where they're going to be because they've had so much rest. I mean, it's been, you know, the rest that they had last year, I think is going to do most of them good. The majority of them, there'll be some guys, you know, that'll probably get injured in spring training because they're doing too much. But I think as time goes on, you're going to see these guys pretty much strong for a full season.
Yeah, and I do think one thing that's changed over the years is guys have all the equipment they need at home, all the stuff. You know, Nathan Eovaldi told me, you know, he's throwing to Connor Wong, the catching prospect, twice a week. So he had a major league catcher, you know, at his house out on the ranch. They had the gun. They had the Rapsodo. They had all the equipment set up so that he can do everything he needed to do in a normal season. So in that these guys are, you know, they train themselves at a higher level away from the team than guys ever did with the team 20 years ago. So,
lie about that. That's the truth.
No more rubber suits to lose weight.
Oh, you know, we go to spring training to get in shape. These guys come in shape and get ready to play baseball right away. So it's a little different story.
Don Ory, another hockey story. Don Ory, who was Bobby Orr's defensive partner when Bobby Orr was a rookie, and he was the ultimate stay-at-home guy. And he lived on the street I live on way back in the day. And I've talked to some neighbors who knew him. They've told some stories. And one of my neighbors tells a great story. He says, I was walking by one day, and Don Ory was sitting out on the patio having a beer. And so the neighbor says, I went over and said, hey, Don, what are you doing? He said, absolutely nothing. Last summer, they convinced me to work out all summer and get in the best shape of my life. Third game of the year, blew out my knee. That's crap. I'm never working out in the summer again. You know, and I love that because that was the attitude. Not don't work out, but you, spring training, preseason, anything, was to get in shape for the season.
Right. And it seemed like we had less injuries. It seemed like that's we had amazing. Less injuries as the season went on than what they do today. It seems like there's always something going on with injuries, you know. But, you know, I'd love to have the stuff available to me that they have available now, obviously, from a workout point of view, from analytics point of view, from, you know, information they have prior to games. I'd love to be able to see some of that stuff and take a peek at it and you know, and see how you can use it for yourself. And especially the off-season workout routines, because, you know, we would wrap up a season and do nothing for, you know, a month and a half. And then I start going for little jogs every day and stuff like that, you know, very little bit of weight work, not much at all. And then we'd start hitting. We used to go to Tufts University. We'd hit there. We'd have a group of about four or five guys that would hit. But it's nowhere close to being, you'd go to spring training and it was the same thing. You know, you'd go through the first 3 days and by the third day, you couldn't walk. It was so sore. So, you know, all that working out in the off season, I think sometimes is a little bit overrated.
Speaking about spring training and getting ready, had an interesting conversation late last week with Marwin Gonzalez, who's an interesting guy, a versatile guy like Kike Hernandez, right? But even more, I mean, Marwin Gonzalez, I think he's pitched in a game. I think he hasn't caught, and maybe there's an outfield position, but I mean, he's played everything. Yeah. And I talked to him about how he juggles all that and gets ready for all that. Here's what he had to say.
Marwin, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I guess you are happy to be here, right? Because you came from Houston and the weather, you know, you're not used to hearing stories about snow and ice and power outages. Did that delay? Is that part of the reason why you were a little late getting to camp?
Yeah, I was a little late. They shut down the whole airport in Houston for about 4 or 5 days, and then I wasn't able to fly. So I got here as soon as I was able to get here, and then I was a little late for my physical. So I'm a little behind, probably 2 days behind, not much.
I should say I welcomed you to Boston. I should say welcome back to the Red Sox, right? You had about 3 hours back in 2011 when you were a member of the team, right? Picked up on the Rule 5 draft and then traded later that day. What's that like for a player? I mean, you know, you never really have time to think of it, but when you hear your name a couple of times, what was that like for you?
Well, I'm taking it as a brand new member for the first time. I didn't even have a time to enjoy it. That time in 2011. It was December of 2011. It was 2-3 hours. I got another call telling me that I was traded to the Houston Astros, and I mean, I couldn't enjoy the process. So I was, whenever I signed 2 weeks ago, I was excited that I finally was going to wear this uniform.
Long time coming, 10 years waiting to get you back here in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of the most versatile players in baseball, and we've seen the importance of that role. Saw it in the World Series last year, right? Dodgers and Tampa Bay Rays, two teams that love the versatility. But we've got two guys who are amongst the most versatile, you and Kike Hernandez on the same team. That gives Alex Cora a lot of versatility with the lineup, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, the game has changed a lot, and I think, like, all 30 teams are carrying guys like us, like, that can play multiple positions. And, I mean, I'm happy because when I got to the big leagues, it was basically the night starters were the guys playing almost 162 games. So the guys in the bench didn't have a chance. So I'm happy that everything changed. Sobris changed everything. And it kind of opened the doors for guys like Kike and I to do what we do. And I mean, you see pretty much every team trying to do the same and carrying guys that can play all over the places. So, and I mean, for a team and for a manager, it kind of makes it easy because I think that they can carry an extra pitcher. And I mean, it's better for the whole team.
You know, there's a lot of guys who can play a couple of different infield positions, you play everything. How many gloves do you carry around during the season? Like, how do you handle that?
That's a good question. I always get that question. And I have a 4-game glove, and I practice with another one. So I don't like to practice with my game one. So I carry 5 gloves. And but in my locker, I have, like, I mean, 7 to 9 gloves. You know, I get new gloves, and I'm trying to get them ready for the next year or like mid-season or something like that. But like sometimes I have to ask one of my teammates to if he can carry 1 or 2 gloves because there is no enough room on my back. So yeah, that's kind of a hard thing for me to do. Like when we're traveling, it's kind of a pain for me to like pack my bags and kind of to feel everything in my bag. So.
And just to make life even more difficult, you're a switch hitter, so you got to take more time in the cage too, right? You play. I mean, you do more of everything, right? You got to take more different positions, more switch hitting.
Yeah, going back about packing, then you have 2 helmets. So I have 2 helmets. So it is like an extra packing either way. However you want to see it, with the glove, with the helmets, and all that, and how you say I have to spend. And extra time in the cages, and a switch hitter can tell you, it's hard to do. Like, you never 100% about both sides of the play, so you have to really work on the cage a lot.
You know, but your splits are really consistent from both sides of the plate. Usually you look at a switch hitter and you can see much more power one side or better average on the other side. You've been pretty consistent. Is that because you put in the work?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, I think my first three or four years, I wasn't able to be consistent from my right side. So I put some work into that. And I mean, I became a little better hitter from my right side. So I think that things are kind of equal now. But when I refer about like you never 100% of both sides, it's like at the time, you never feeling, even when you're raking, you feeling more confident one side. You know, so like after the season, everything is kind of equal. But at the moment, like you're going to have better times at the time from your left side. And by the time that the season is over, then yeah, everything is equal. But it's hard to do.
Do you feel more comfortable from one side? Is there more of a natural side when you hit?
I mean, I think that every switch hitter will tell you that they're more confident from your left side because you see more pitchers. Like, you don't see that many lefties in the game. So, yeah, that's an answer that I think that every switch hitter will give you. Like, it's always more you have more confidence from your left side. But again, there will be times that you want to hit from your right side because you're feeling it, you're killing it, and then you will be better from your right side at that time than your left. So it's funny.
More options get you more time in the lineup, which is what you want, I know. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Red Sox, Mark. We're happy to have you back here after the win.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, you know, Jerry, sometimes it's stupid little things you would think about, but we don't think about as fans and people watching the game. I mean, you talk about seven different gloves.
Yeah.
Two gamers and five, pregame gloves.
Right.
He's got to have a teammate take two or three of his gloves because they only have room for so much gloves each, even in this day and age. And then as a switch hitter, he's got to double up his time in the cage because he's got to – I mean, this guy's going to be busy. I'm worried about this guy.
That's true. That's a lot to worry about. You know, I have all the admiration in the world for guys that can play different positions because it's so difficult just to play one, to prepare to play one position. And when you got to be – when you're called on to go from – the outfield to the infield or the infield back to the outfield or from the one side of the infield to the other side of the infield, the game's totally different for you, you know, and to be able to make that adjustment is really remarkable for me. And I really respect those guys and the work that they have to put in prior to a game. You know, you see them, I watch them during batting practice, some of those guys. And you know, like when Brock Holt was here with the Red Sox, you'd watch him take ground balls at third, then he'd go to the outfield, take some fly balls, come back to the infield at second base, turn some double plays, same thing at shortstop, you know. So it's really takes a lot of work to be able to, you know, be a good versatile player like that. And much more than, you know, a guy that plays one position. I mean, my routine was very simple. Go take some ground balls at second base, turn some double plays, go take your swings in the batting box, you want one side of the plate, and you're all done. These guys, you know, they've got to put in double the time and sometimes more than that to be able to go through their routine. They've always got to be ready because, you know, you get moved around in a game, and a lot of times the game's on the line when they get moved. You know, they might go from the outfield to the infield in a one-run game in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and they've got to be ready to handle that job. So that all comes in pregame preparation. That's a lot of work. It really is.
You know, and the other part of it now is with shifting, even the positions you're playing, you end up all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you might be a shortstop who ends up in short right field. You might be a second baseman who ends up in the shortstop hole, third baseman move over. So even that, you got to get used to different parts of it. But let's not sell yourself short here, Jerry. Jim Rice loves to talk about the fact that you played a little outfield. Okay, Jim Rice loves to tell the story of you playing a little outfield.
I'll never live it down. I'll never live that down. But you know what? To this day, I say, you know, the hell of them, because nobody else wanted to go out there. And at least I tried it. You know, I mean, I'm looking down the dugout. Zimmer's looking for an outfielder. Nobody's raising their hand. So I said, well, I'll raise my hand. I'll go out there. At least maybe I can hide for an inning, you know. Well, I didn't hide for one pitch.
One pitch.
The very first pitch, Ron Hassey hit a fly ball to me in right field. I didn't know if I was coming or going. You know, it was that big old Cleveland Stadium. And that ball went up in the seats in the third deck. And I went, well, I have no idea where this ball is. And I looked like a clown coming in, going back. Blew my knee out, ball drops in, and it was a close game. I believe at the time it was a 3-1 game. And, you know, when I came in, and of course everybody's laughing, you know, and I say, hey, you know, I said, it's pretty funny. Yeah, ha, 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 ha. I just blew out my knee. I said, but I didn't see anybody in here raising their arm to go out there and play.
Right? See? But Jim loves that story. It might be Jim Rice's favorite story on that.
Oh, it was hysterical. I mean, it was, you know, for them, it was hysterical. For me, it was one of the most embarrassing moments I've had in the big leagues.
24 guys thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, so much.
All right, here's before we wrap it up, I want to introduce something new this year. I don't remember this time last year. I would ask you, I'd use my high-tech graphic. I'd use my finger to it was the Jerry Remy confidence meter on whether or not we were going to play. Right, we're like, we're gonna play baseball, and you'd be like, yeah, not to, you know, we did that for weeks.
Yeah,
the nice thing now is we can talk about baseball. So, I do this a lot with the Red Sox, I will admit. A lot of times I go down to camp saying, man, this team's got, and then by the end of camp, man, these guys are gonna win 120 games. This is gonna be, you know, I always, you're around them and you buy into it.
Yeah.
But I do feel over the last couple of weeks, I'm feeling more optimistic about this season than maybe I was in the middle of January. Where's your confidence level right now in this team being, let's say, a team that vies for a wild card, for a playoff?
Yeah, I honestly believe, you know, in the moves that they made over the last couple of weeks prior to spring training and watching the game yesterday, even though it was, you know, there was hardly anybody in the game that's going to be there. But the fact is that I really believe that this is a team that can fight for a wild card spot. This is not a great team. It's not by any means. It's not a great team. But what I'm watching very closely is the pitching staff, because that to me is going to make the biggest difference in the world. You know, if they can pitch a little bit, they can be competitive for a playoff spot. They have the players in the field to be able to do that. If they can't pitch again, it's going to be another total disaster, you know, because they'll score runs, but you can't play a season where you're behind all the time and trying to come back and fight back. It just wears on you. So I'm really focused in on the pitching staff, and I'm anxious to see every one of the starts in spring training and see who, you know, you can rely on, who you still have question marks about, because that to me is going to be the difference on how far this club goes. And I'm not saying they're going to win our division, because our division is so good, but, you know, can they compete for a wild card spot? I honestly believe if the pitching is what it can be, yeah, I think they will be competitive. And look, that's all you hope for. You know, you hope to make the playoffs in some form or fashion. And from there, who knows what's going to happen? You just don't know. But your goal is to make the playoffs. And do they have the people to do that? I believe the team in the field, they do. But we got to see how the starting pitching goes.
Yeah, making a playoff spot would be a huge step in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. And by the way, my pick to click, I'm going to talk Garrett Whitlock, who I keep talking about, the Rule 5 guy they got from the New York Yankees. 1-2-3 inning in his Red Sox spring training debut, right. 96, 97 miles an hour. This guy was a top prospect for the Yankees before Tommy John surgery. Now he's back and he's throwing hard. So keep your eye on that guy. That's my call.
I will. I'll personally ask the next game I do to have him pitch in it so I can see him.
Hey, you have that kind of pull, which means the game I do Saturday, nobody important will pitch. They'll say, oh, we're waiting for Remy game. Jerry, it was fun. It flew by once again. Great to see him back in the booth on Monday, and it was fun. We'll do it again.
All right. Very good, TC.
He's Jerry Remy. I'm Tom Karen. This is the TC and Jerry podcast. Thanks for watching.